All right.
I think we will move on from that.
I'll ask
you. Fred, yeah, Fred.
Yeah, I just wanted to...
I think Brother Fred was, Fred.
I think the simplicity of it found in Hebrews 13. And it, the simplicity of there, and it says, and because Hebrews chapter 1 sets him, the Lord Jesus, as God sitting. And here in Hebrews 13, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, patient, person of age, goes all the way back then, he says, and today, and forever. Seems to me it ties in who that person is sitting at the right hand. It's the same. Change the ancient of age, he says, that's a, in the past. And then he says, he remains the same, even now. To me, that was helpful to me in Hebrews 13.
Okay, all right, thank you. Charles?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask a question. Can we, since we are wading into something that is not specified in Scripture as to the position that, as far as the members of the Godhead is concerned, but is it not so that the Bible said that God does not judge anyone? He has entrusted that to His Son. According to John, and then he said, well, the Lord is God. He accepted that in the book of John, where He is God. But God the Father has entrusted judgment to Him.
That's,
and He accepted that.
That's right. John 5. And we are coming to that, Brother Charles, and we'll say more about that when we come to it. All right. We'll move on from there, and we hope that this discussion will have enlarged each of us in our apprehension of the grandeur of God. What do you think are the contents of the book, the scroll? What does that book contain? What is the subject of it? Justice.
I think it's a record of events, and then the judgments that are placed upon that record of events.
Record of what event? Of what events?
The events that prelude the judgment of each one of those seals that are broken off.
Okay. All right. Okay. Somebody else?
I thought it might have been the Book of Life that's spoken of later.
Okay. All right.
Chapter 4, verse 1 says of things that must be hereafter.
Mm-hmm.
So, answering your question, if you continue to read the chapters that come, you'll find out.
Okay. Yeah. So, your view is that the subject of the contents would be the events that follow. All right. I would be inclined to go your way, that's my view of it, Brother John, that it actually, yes?
Isn't it the filling of the prophecies and the covenants and promises that God made to Israel? Because during the scriptures, they're all looking forward to tribulation, which has to come.
All right, okay, all right. That's okay, all right. Well, you said it, we'll leave it there. There's something that is relevant about that to what we're saying, but I think we spent too much time on that now, we will miss what we are supposed to get to. I'm going to say that what John said is this: the subject of it, the things to come, and those things to come are what? Karen?
In chapter 6, mm-hmm. It talks about the seven
sealed scrolls.
Uh-huh.
And each scroll, when it's opened, reveals different judgments that are going to come upon
you. Exactly. Use the word that I'm looking for. And the word is that judgments, the judgments of God, are in this scroll. That's my view of it. Not everybody agrees with that. I'm saying that because I want you to understand that there is no definitive answer to these questions. Have all the scholars who have been, but whatever you get, there's something for you to enjoy in it. I believe that this this book contains the scroll that contains the judgments that are to come. The reason that you had to find the right person to open the scroll is the person who has the right to judge. And who has the right to judge?
Christ.
Christ.
Lord Jesus.
The Son. The Father judges no one. He has committed all judgment to the Son,
Jesus.
So he is the judge. And however, the Father, God, is seen in the parable of the Lord Jesus as the one who was prosecuting the judgment. Again, I believe it's the whole Godhead. Who was prosecuting the judgment, and the judgment is against whom?
The world.
Yeah. What the Lord Jesus speaks of it in Matthew 24, but that great tribulation is coming on the whole world. It is spoken of in Revelation 3:10. That which is coming on the whole world. So, judgment is going to be executed. And so, the seals, the seven seals that make up the scroll, the book, are going to be opened. But you need the worthy man to open that. And there was none to do it on earth, under the earth, in heaven, only one. And he was doing it as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, everyone was able to follow, I trust, when we spoke about. Let's read, look at it. Matthew 21. Rod, you read for us last week. Would you like to do that again? That passage in which the Lord talks about the retribution to the people, to the tenants.
33.
Okay.
Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. The vine growers took his slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterwards, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." They took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? Continue?
All right. So the Lord Jesus tells this account of these unfaithful tenants. And now he says to the people,
What do you think the Lord is going to do to those vine growers? And before they could think about the fact that he was talking about them, they blurted out the answer. Mm-hmm. What is the answer? What's he going to do?
Good. Destroy
those wicked
men. Yeah. They said to him, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers. Now, this is predictive. The Lord was speaking to the people, but this pertains, although primarily, to Israel, the Jewish community there, it pertained to all who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about that in Acts chapter 4, verse 27. We're told that both Pontius Pilate and Herod and the Jews and the Gentiles, all of them. So all of them are going to receive the wretched treatment, which is the great tribulation. But who were those, who was Lieutenant that got the to whom it was written?
The Gentile?
What
was the question of that?
Yeah, you're on the right track.
Yeah, it was the
Gentile. More specifically, the church. Because there are Gentiles that are falling into the category of those who are to be punished also. Yeah. They also rejected the Lord Jesus. So it is the church that is the only thing that is, that they are the new tenants, so to speak. He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he will rent out his vineyard to other vine growers. So that is the way I bring this together, and you may differ. If you do, that is okay.
What they meant by you found yourself between the rock and a hard place, where it says, he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to that passage yet, my brother Charles. I want to keep it to what we read, because that is what relates to the matter of the judgments that are going to be meted out. So these sealed judgments, let me take a moment to point out that we have how many different sets of judgments? You read it the whole book. That's what we assigned. So how many are in the series of judgments that are going to be meted out to the world?
Seven.
The series of judgments. What is the first set of judgments?
It's a four horsemen.
I'm sorry?
The four horsemen.
No, it's the first set of judgments.
The trumpet.
The first set of judgments. The first set of judgments are the sealed judgments. All right, the first set of judgments is the sealed judgments. What is a? How many more judgments? How many more sets of judgments are there?
Two.
What are they?
The trumpet and the vials.
Trumpet, judgments, and the vials. What is another name for the vials?
Bowls.
Right. So these are the three sets of judgments that are going to be meted out. first the seals are going to be, the seal judgments are going to be executed, and then there's going to be the trumpet judgments, and then the bowl judgments. Now, how many stages? How many stages do we have in each of these sets of judgments?
Seven.
All right. Yes. There are seven judgments in each of the three sets of judgments. But there's something else. The seventh judgment of the seal, of the set of seal judgments, is what?
It's not mentioned in chapter 6.
Okay. You see, the seventh judgment, the seventh seal, actually contains all the trumpet judgments. So the trumpet judgments follow. And then the seventh trumpet judgment contains what?
The bowls.
All the bowl judgments. So if you understand that paradigm, it will help to follow the judgments a little better. Now why did I go there? I forgot.
I don't know, but we got it.
All right. I'm not going to try to answer all the questions that we have written here. As I said earlier, the questions are intended to provoke your own study and maybe to help focus it. What Old Testament prophets may contain reference to the scroll spoken of here? Okay, well, let me, Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, I think it is, where Daniel is told to seal up the scroll. So you have this the scroll sealed in Daniel. You also have a reference to the scroll in what other prophet? That is very much like what we have in Revelation. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 9. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. That's what we have in Revelation 5, right? One with a scroll in his right hand. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and the back. And written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. So what does the scroll contain?
Lamentations.
What does the scroll contain?
Judgments.
Lamentations, mournings, and woe. All right. Another. As you read Revelation, what do you think is necessary to make one worthy to open the scroll and its seals? Well, let's start with chapter 5, right where we are. And okay.
And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God.
All right.
From every tribe, and language and people and nations. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.
So this is the qualification of the one who would open the scroll. He says, you are worthy to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain. And it purchased for God with blood, with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Moreover, you made them a kingdom, priests to our God. They will reign. Now, someone, the NASB says upon the earth. There are some other translations that say on the earth, which would be the equivalent. Darby says over the earth. And if he is right, it would explain better that the church is not on the earth during the millennial period.
Wouldn't it be the same if it's raining over or on the earth?
All right. What is the difference between raining on the earth or over the earth?
Sounds like I'm in heaven raining.
All right. You don't have to be on the earth to roll over the earth, right? So, so that is the point. And in fact, well, if you think of the church being on the earth, now remember, the church consists of what kind of people?
Jew and Gentile.
Yes, Jew and Gentiles, but more fundamentally than that.
Redeemed.
Redeemed. There'll be redeemed people on earth too.
New Testament saints.
Call them.
Resurrected. You have people who are resurrected. They are in glorified bodies. Will they be on earth interacting with and living like the people who have not been resurrected? You see, the translation reigning over the earth helps us to sort to resolve that dilemma. Okay, but I'm going to stop there because, again, I'm planting seeds for your meditation, and I hope that you will take it much further than I can go here with it. Okay, I'm going to skip six. What is the difference between John and the elder, that the latter was undisturbed by the moment of uncertainty about a capable person to open the scroll? What's the difference between John and the other?
John cried out.
I'm sorry?
John cried out.
Cried out? Yeah. But why didn't... What's the difference between him? Why didn't the other cry out?
They had a difference in understanding.
Okay. All right.
One had faith that...
Is that one had faith?
He knew what was
going to
happen.
He knew what was going to happen? Okay, that's what we have to understand, what's going on here. This here, John is a seer. He's being given a vision of what is happening in heaven. All the people who are already in heaven are able to enter into what's going on. John, he's an outsider, yeah, in the sense that he is just being given a vision of the heathen. Now, ultimately, John is going to be among the elders. John is going to be among them.
Makes a lot of sense.
But he is not yet, he's just looking. He has been given vision to see what is going to happen there. Is that too difficult to follow?
No, I think it's good.
All right. Again, I'm not going to labor these things because I just want to sow some seed for your own meditation. And you can enlarge on what I am sharing. From which passage of the book of Genesis do we find a basis for the designation Lion of the Tribe of Judah? Oh, that's an easy one.
Genesis 49, verses 8 through 12.
Okay, you want to read them for us?
Judah, thou art the blessings of Jacob. And he said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Verse 8, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? Verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and until unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
Okay, thank you. Brother John, that is where, way back in Genesis, God was revealing his purposes. This is before the Levitical priesthood was established. God is saying there is going to be a ruler of Israel, and in Israel, of course, was going to be the channel through which God is going to bless all the earth. So, Jacob was given the revelation so that he was able to pronounce this blessing on Judah. And Judah is going to carry the scepter of rulership all through. The Lord Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. And so he is the one who is ultimately Shiloh, to whom it belongs. See, there have been many, many kings of Judah through the centuries. But it is ultimately the last of these kings after whom there will be no successor. He will be the end of the kings of Judah. And then I think I'm going to leave the other two questions and just look at the progress of the chapter. From verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and the seven seals. Its seven seals. I'd like to make some remarks about that, but let's go on to verse 6. Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the world. This depiction of the Lamb, the one slain,
And he is seen, however, subsequent to all that sacrificial activity, and he is seen with seven horns. Seven horns speak of what?
Power.
Well, power. And why seven? Power to its completion, to its perfection. And the Lord Jesus, when he rose from the dead, what did he say?
All authority has been given to me.
All power has been given to me. In heaven and in earth. And so there are some teachers, like Dr. Harry A. Ironside, think that the scroll is really God's title deed to the earth, or the Lord's title deed to the earth, to everything. That's the way he puts it. And that's I think, is included here. So all power is given to me. So he is the one that he came as the lowly man. He endured the rejection of sinners, but now his enemies have been made his footstool, and now the power is flowing from him to the world that rejected him. But let me call your attention just to the flow of the chapter. Verse 8, and when he had taken the book, he had the power to do so. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each of them a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And here they sang. This is speaking primarily of the 24 elders, redeemed humanity, singing praise. And they say, they sang a new song, "Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou was slain, and its purchase for God with thy blood, men from every tribe, and tongue, and people, and nation." So, this is the first wave of worship, praise that you have. It is the saints, redeemed humanity. Wherever they may be, that's worshiping the Lamb. And I looked and I heard the voice of many, verse 11, I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Now, they were saying this. We have angels here. The angels have not known redemption. So they don't have any part in the redemption song. But they are. So there's no reference to us being slain here. They're simply saying that he is entitled to riches, and wisdom and power. I mean, he's referred to as having been slain, but his slaying did not accomplish anything for the angels. And then last of all, in verses 13 through 14, you have him being worshipped, this time by whom?
Everybody.
First, it was the saints.
Every preacher.
Then, next, it was by the saints and angels. And at last,
every creature on earth.
All creation is worshiping him. All creation. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you have the three waves of worship. Okay, we've gone past our time. Our Lord and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb slain. And we pray that as we meditate on these things, that we might get an increased understanding and grasp of who he is and what he's done, and become more ardent worshipers. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.